In the last hour of the program, we've got Shane Crawford, Hawthorn champion, coming up shortly to talk AFL. Brad Davidson and Shane the Hammer Heel, we'll catch up with him as well, and Dave Stanley. And Dave, well, on the text line here, morning boys, big shout out to DS and Marlo for running a cracking Coffs Cup Calcutta last night at the Moonee Beach Hotel. Good crowd, big pool, great to see a couple of locals, Huey and Trudy, drawing the two favourites. Have a great day. From the Moonee Beach Battler, sending that one through. And yeah, big day at Coffs today with the Cup, and it is race 7 on the card. Hosier, the Lloyd Williams owned Chris Lee's trained horse, to be ridden by Hugh Bowman. $2.30, barrier 6. Well and truly the favourite for it. The Ritz, barrier 12, $6. Then you got Fender for Brett Kavanagh, in from $7 to $6.50 on the third line of betting. Blesk, John O'Shea, Reese Jones, a $7 chance. And Lightning Jack, also in single digits, a $9 chance for Annabelle Neesham and Chad Schofield there today. Just got a note through from the ATC as well. As it stands, Roar Ramwick, a soft 6 as it stands for Saturday's meeting. But the forecast today, not overly crash hot. Forecast good tomorrow and Saturday, though, Loss.
So what do you reckon? It depends. Soft?
Well, it depends what happens today.
Depends how much rain we get, I suppose. Yeah.
And you're saying everywhere you've
looked. Everywhere I'm sort of driving through, I'm on the road. I've got to get to Junee today, and I've looked up, you know, Goulburn, Yass. Not that you go past Yass, but just sort of seeing where it might ease off the rain. It's not easing.
Mm.
So winds and rainy trip if you're travelling today. So be careful on the road.
Not good. Tomorrow, by the way, Phil Moss is going to join us from Bali, where he's on holidays, to give us a full Premier League preview, because the season starts Saturday morning our time, and it starts with Crystal Palace hosting Arsenal. But I was just looking at the winner market, and Tottenham are the best pack to win the Premier League this season. I think the odds have obviously got a lot to do with that. People want to look outside the obvious, the top two being Manchester City and Liverpool. So 33% of the money with Tab is for Tottenham at $13, then 19% of the money for Liverpool at $3.50, and 11% for Arsenal, who are $26 chances in the top goal scorer market. Well, best back comfortably is Erling Haaland, the striker coming from Borussia Dortmund, a superstar in the making. Well, he already is, and he's coming to Manchester City, and he's the $4 favourite and commanding 43% of the money. There's been some bets of $300 and $200 at 1,000-1 on Manchester United to be relegated this season, would you believe? I can't see that happening, even though, it'd be an absolute disaster to say the least. But we will have a big chat with Mossy about it tomorrow morning. Other games this weekend, Fulham, who've been promoted, they're up against Liverpool. We've got the likes of Tottenham up against Southampton, Everton at home to Chelsea. So it's Frank Lampard, of course, managing against his former club, and he just helped Everton survive last season. United have Brighton at Old Trafford. Hello, Croft.
Good morning. How are we?
Yeah, we're not too bad, thanks, mate. And big news in AFL in regards to this camp, which has been in the news, it feels like, for 4.5 years. And doesn't obviously get a lot of airtime here in Sydney, but this camp at Adelaide, what it was post their 2017 grand final defeat in that next pre-season. And Eddie Betts has detailed what some weird and racially insensitive occurrences in his new book, I believe, which has attracted significant fallout.
Yeah, and mainly because the media, and it was all sort of covered over a fair bit, because we heard rumblings of a lot of players for a while. I think the AFL investigated, and then the Players Association said, not much was happening there. But then Eddie's book, I think it comes out today, sort of goes through in detail what went on. And it's quite interesting, because apparently, you know, some of the players gave up private and confidential information before the camp. And then that was used when they were tied up and blindfolded and pushed to their limits and mentally, to see how much they could take and tolerate. And it broke them. And it broke some of the players, especially, you know, someone like Eddie Betts, who just couldn't believe some of the information that was being said right in front of him, but also in front of his teammates. And a lot of them wouldn't have known, a lot of that information as well. So it's an interesting one, because Don Pike at the time You know, he's a ripper. He's a great coach. But the thing is, when you trust someone to go, okay, I'll take the camp, and you trust different organisations and so forth, you're sort of in their hands. They're the professionals, so you sort of trust that they can bring out the best. But it ended up being a bit of a disaster.
Yeah, it's one of these ones where I'm sure the AFL would like it to sort of go away, but it's just sort of bubbling now to the top of the surface again, and it's been, you know, 4 years. I just wonder where it sort of goes to from now.
Well, it's not going to go anywhere, but I think, if anything, you can learn from that. You got to get on top of it and deal with it, you know, right from day one. And you feel for the Adelaide management because they're all new. They're all new people running the football club, yet they've got to sort of front and show that, listen, you know, we are not going to accept what has gone on, but, you know, we were the ones that weren't in charge of the club at the time. So it's very interesting. I reckon, remember my first camp when I went to Hawthorn, a young kid from Finlay in the bush. All of a sudden, we were chucked on buses and we were taken to Puckapunyal Army Camp. And they said, as soon as you get off, you're a part of the Australian Army. So they go, we had outfits, we had guns. We're running around with guns. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow.
For 2 days, I'm running around with this big machine, this gun. I didn't know. I used to shoot a slug gun back in Finlay. That's about it. And water's weak. Can't drink water. Water's weak.
Oh, I'd love that one.
Mentality back then. And so, yeah, camps are really important. But I always found, and I reckon you would agree with this, Laurie, the most we could get out of our teammates and the best way to connect and come together and move forward was on a footy trip where everyone had a few beers and we just got to be ourselves and let them steam off. That was the best way. And I think they still should do that at the start of the year.
Croft, you know, I reckon you're 100% right, mate.
And mix and mingle with them.
And it's the same when you're sort of going through a bit of a tough time during the season, isn't it? You can try and get away and do all sorts of things, but the one thing you know where you can have open and honest dialogue is if you sit in a room and have a couple of beers together.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, when it's manufactured, when you know, oh, they're trying to get us to be closer and so forth, it sort of it rips the fabric a bit. But when it just happens naturally or when you're in environments where you sort of come together, you know, that's when you get the best out of it. And we... unfortunately, when you have footy trips, you go away and you go to Vegas and you have your time of your life, you come back and half those players have been delisted. So they're no longer a part of the club, even though you've bonded so close. So I think there's something in that from the very start.
Yeah, I reckon you're right there. What about the Battle of the Bridge last weekend? The Swans were very, very good. Where are the Swans at? And what about poor GWS, mate?
The Swans are very good and we've liked them all year. You know, they've had patches, but they've got such a young group coming through, but they've got a good blend of older players as well. And, yeah, I think a few people are a bit scared of what the Swans could do in September because they do have a lot of run. They have the young players who do take their game on and really back themselves. So they're definitely top four material. You know, it wouldn't surprise anyone, you know, if they could be a part of the grand final with their improvement over the last few years. So that wouldn't surprise. And the Giants, very disappointing. I know Mark McVay was, you know, scathing just on, you know, some players have just chipped out or signed off for the year and, you know, looking at whether or not they hang around for next year or do they take the money and move on to somewhere else. So it's always a bit of a battle when you've got a side that's battling away, players go into survival mode and try and sort of protect their own little patch, and it just spirals out of control. So, yeah, they've got a bit of work to try and be competitive for the rest of the year, and then they've got to work out what they're going to do, especially from a coaching point of view.
Well, you mentioned the coaching point of view. It sort of died down over the last week, the Alistair Clarkson talk about him going to a club. Do you think he will coach next season, or do you think he'll sit out another year and wait for another opportunity at another club?
No, I think he's very conscious of sitting out for too long. You know, I think he's very refreshed. He's kept himself well-educated. He's tried to learn more from a coaching point of view, obviously heading overseas. And he's met with the Giants 3 times. There's obviously some strong interest there. And he's had a a pretty casual conversation with North Melbourne, but they're going to have a more formal conversation moving forward. So I think North Melbourne are the favourites to get him. I think he's going to love the challenge. I think he's obviously having a look at the lists, but I think behind the scenes he's got his team ready to go from a coaching point of view and a performance point of view. But he's also been working the football managers apparently. So he's made sure that a lot of players that are coming out of contract or looking for a new direction that. So something that probably hasn't happened in the past with coaches in that situation, they're more about just getting the job and then they sort of go to work. He's done the work behind the scenes with making sure wherever he goes, he's taken some of that talent. So I think North Melbourne would be amazing for him because they need someone like him with his energy and direction. And, it won't happen straight away, but knowing what he's like, he's an angry little man. He'll get them firing eventually, and I think that'd be great for footy. A
couple of big retirement announcements out west. David Mundy at Fremantle and Josh Kennedy at the West Coast Eagles, and I believe he's finishing up straight away this weekend.
Yeah, unbelievable with David Mundy. With the consistency that he's played for so long through the middle of the ground too, so a running position. And Josh Kennedy, well, he's kicked 715 goals throughout his career. He was a part of that famous swap when Chris Judd came that he went back to Perth. Who won out of that? Well, you'd have to say West Coast, really, because, Josh Kennedy ended up playing way more footy. And, he was one of the key forwards for a long time. And I can remember when he was the number one forward in town, he had this real stutter step, a bit like Fred Flintstone used to start his car. And then the AFL had to go to him and say, listen, can you please change your technique? Because at Auskick, all the young kids were copying his technique, which wasn't the sort of the technique that they really wanted kids to be doing because it was a little bit flawed and very different. But he's been a wonderful warrior and, certainly going to be missed.
Croft, can the Lions win the comp? I was just seeing their performance last weekend. I think they were 42 points in front of the Tigers there at one stage, and the Tigers ran them down. But their record at the MCG is not great.
Yeah, it's funny. Everyone's saying, oh, they can't play the MCG. But I'm like, if you pose that question at halftime against Richmond last week, you go, well, hang on, that's no longer hovering. And I think they just switched off a bit, and the Tigers, just have more to play for at the moment because they're just trying to hang in to be a part of the finals. I still think they can. I think Geelong deserve to be favourites right now. They've had a wonderful patch of footy and playing a really good style of footy. They're moving the ball nice and quick and, they deserve to be favourites. I still like Melbourne, even though they've had a bit of a rough patch. I saw a great deal last week against a very good opposition in Fremantle. I just saw that the Demons are back and have really just started to switch on. Some people have written them off. I wouldn't write them off. They need a few more midfielders to lift. They need to share the responsibility because McCluggage and Lachie Neale are probably shouldering too much through the midfield. But I wouldn't write them off. I suppose Geelong are still question marks because they have faltered in the finals over the last few years. And are they playing their best footy right now? Which is obviously not what you want to do. So there's a lot of those questions. I think Brisbane is still a chance. I think Melbourne, I think the Cats. And, I thought Carlton for a little bit, but they get a bit of a worry at times, but maybe it's the Swans, maybe it's the emergence of the young Swans, a bit like the Baby Bombers way back in the early 90s when they came from nowhere. Maybe the Swans are a Baby Bombers version, so look out.
Croft, thanks so much, mate.
No worries, see ya, bye-bye.
Queensland Raceway comes alive on Stan Sport this weekend with the Sights and Sounds of Speed Series, where Australia's best drivers will battle it out for supremacy. Bathurst 1000 winners Shane Van Gisbergen, David Reynolds and Garth Tander will star in the GT World Challenge Australia, featuring a star-studded lineup of high-performance cars. Catch the massive 30-car field of muscle cars in Trans Am as Chevrolet, Ford and Dodge duel to decide who's the best of the V8 Brutes. Then see the headline act, the Super Cheap Auto TCR Australia, where Tony D'Alberto fights to keep his title challenge on course with a pack of hungry drivers chasing him. Don't miss a second of it with all the action streaming ad-free, live and on demand on Stan Sport from 11 a.m. Eastern. Start your free trial today at stan.com.au/sport. And we've had a note through or a call from Brad and his crew. Loz, they're in the car on the way to Louth Races. So that's what, about 9 hours from the Blue Mountains. So happy punting, safe travels to Brad and his crew. I know a couple of people from out that way. I didn't quite get, it's basically west of Bourke. So you're getting northwest of Cobar.
It's pretty wild.
But I have been told about those picnics, and they are apparently top draw.
I could only imagine, Mitto. I reckon there'd be a lot of fun to be had. I reckon a lot of people will visit, and I reckon you won't be getting much sleep.
I've been to Come By Chance and Martha Guy, which I'm sure are of a similar ilk to that. And some of the sights you see the next morning after everyone's camped, well, you see some people who've gone through, well, they're having a character building morning, put it that way.
Well, that's what we love about racing and trips away, Mitto.
Yep.
You can relax and have a good time.
No, and that would be a fantastic weekend for those boys. Enjoy. Well, what day is it? So they'd be tomorrow, I'm pretty sure, those races. But good on you, Brad and your crew. Brad Davidson joining us now. G'day, Davo.
Yeah, morning, Mitto. Morning, Loz. How are we, guys?
Yeah, really well, thanks. And a big announcement from Racing New South Wales yesterday.
Yeah, big announcement on the prize money increases and money for the infrastructure as well, guys. So, I mean, what I liked about the prize money increases was the prize money increases down the bottom to the non-tab, to the picnic, to the Sky 2, the country tab minimum prize money to 25 to 27,000. That's good because we need to, you know, we need to pull back into the to the bottom because, you know, get those owners more money and then they'll be able to reinvest again and buy another horse. So for me, that was all super. Obviously, the number of increases to races like the Kosciuszko, 1.3 to 2 million, you know, the Sydney Stakes from 500,000 to 2 million, the Queen Elizabeth went up a million, the Doncaster up a million, and we've got a $6 million spring or Sydney Sprint Series bonus as well, which is, of course, designed to keep those horses in Sydney and keep them away from going interstate as much as possible. And then obviously that infrastructure funding as well, $125 million delivered there across the next 2 years, which I think is really important. Construction of stables, new training tracks, course proper works, which I think is really important because I do think that our drainage is probably a little bit behind where it needs to be in Sydney. I know we've had a lot of rain this year, but you know, I think our drainage of a number of tracks could be a bit better. We saw that probably with Canterbury yesterday still being a heavy nine after a couple of weeks of sunshine. If we can improve the drainage of a few tracks, I think that would be fantastic as well. So, yep, much needed money there as well. And obviously the change in prize money distribution, the 1.5% strappers bonus to go to 2% and the welfare fund 1% to 1.5%. So, All important changes there, which are, you know, I'm a big fan of giving strappers more money. I think they deserve a lot more money in our game, and the welfare fund's a great initiative as well. So, some really really positive things there. You know, Peter Vallandi's also hinting at possible more prize money increases in the future. I'd love to see next time as well. Hopefully, just a couple of changes there for the punters. I'd love to see minimum bet laws brought forward. I'd love to see a standardisation of deductions across the industry. At the moment, we've got deductions where bookmakers can basically make their own rules when it comes to that, and there's different deductions right across all the different bookmakers. I think bringing them alignment would be great, and bringing those minimum bet laws forward from, at the moment, I think they're 9 a.m. Saturday. We get them out when the markets come out Wednesday and allow punters to have a decent bet then, I think would be a real positive move forward as well. So hopefully they're in the pipeline. And yesterday overall, some really good news for you know, owners, jockeys, trainers and the industry in a broader sense.
They're racing at Coffs Harbour today, Davo. Who do you like in the feature?
Look, I've been focusing on obviously doing the form for the weekend, so I haven't had a chance to have a good look. But Hosey Ayres, the favourite there for Chris Lees, obviously eligibility up for grabs for the big dance later this year. $2.30 favourite with Bowman in the saddle, and looks a decent field. Of course, all these country cups getting a bit more focus with this the big dance on the horizon. Obviously, there's positives and negatives with that, stronger fields, but there has been a little bit of talk, of course, from those country stables about being harder to get into those races and whatnot. So we'll see what they do with the eligibility around those sort of things in the future. But, strong races is great, and it's going to be great for turnover today, no doubt. The Coffs Harbour Cup, a big day for the club, and I'm sure it'll be a big one for the local community as well.
Any early leans for the Missile Stakes Race 8 Randwick on Saturday, where Forbidden Love is the $3.10 favourite, count to rupee $5?
Yeah, it's just great to have these good horses back, isn't it? There's no doubt about that. Forbidden Love, she's a superstar. We saw that last preparation. She just continues to raise the bar and loves racing here at Randwick. I think it's between her and Bellucci Babe, personally. I like the way Bellucci Babe's been trialling. She really stepped up the level last preparation, finishing fourth behind Nature Strip in a TJ, and her form right through the autumn was outstanding. So for me, Forbidden Love and Bellucci Babe, the two that I'd be focusing on, probably track pattern will depend which way I go there, but with Forbidden Love drawn wide and Bellucci Babe inside, generally rail true, it does suit those horses sort of off fence a bit there at Randwick on Saturday. So we'll see how that pans out, but they're the two that I'll be focusing around there in the Missile Stakes.
Thanks, Davo.
Thanks, guys. Talk tomorrow. Cheers.
Well, welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Tonight, big game in the NRL, and it is the Roosters, $1.55. Favourites with Tab, the Broncos, $2.45. 5.5 is your line. Roosters, the minus, just on those Louth races. Hey, fellas, Louth races Saturday. Yes, they are indeed. Just looked it up. They're non-Tab, not picnics. Have about 20 bookies and normally about 5,000 people. It's a great week out there. So, Louth races Saturday, the Louth Cup, the likes of Rodney Robb out there at Ningen Trainer. Of course, his son Brett doing a great job at the moment. They've got a couple of runners in that. Clint London, Gary Lunn, Alan Prisk training runners in the Louth Cup to be run over 2,000 metres. So, $18,000 race. Be an awesome day there at Louth on Saturday. We've got Shane the Hammer Heel coming up shortly. He's, of course, the head coach of the Sydney Flames in the WNBL, but we'll ask him about all things basketball. As I mentioned tomorrow, Phil Moss will join us to give us a Premier League preview ahead of the new season. But by the way, Loz, foxsports.com.au reported Paul Gallen is set to end his career in the ring with two fights in one night. So it's set to be in Queensland in September, but all the details still to be determined. Justin Hodges likely to be one opponent, while the likes of, they're talking, well, the names thrown up, Russell Packer, Sam Thaiday, Ben Hennett, or a Chris Walker could be the other. And Buzz reported in the Sunday telly on the weekend that Sonny Bill Williams is set to fight former UFC heavyweight Mark Hunt next, who Gallen beat on points over six rounds just a couple of years ago. So the Sonny Bill Gal fight, they're never going to come together and make a financial agreement, you would think. So to compensate for that, because you look at Gal and you think he's probably got all those blokes covered. So,
he has got them all covered.
So let's fight two in one night and see how we go that way.
What happens if he doesn't, though?
Well, especially in the first one.
Yeah. He won't be fighting the second one. But no, Gal got all those other blokes covered. I think the fight that we would have loved to have seen was Gal and Sonny Bill, but there's a dispute, obviously, with the pay, and they can't come to an arrangement where the split is 50-50. So it might happen, but I wouldn't think so. I think Sonny Bill wants to fight other people. Gal would have been a terrific fight. And I think it'd be a really good contest between those two guys.
Now, the Sydney Flames have a new name, a new logo, a new look, and a new home ahead of the WNBL season later this year. And you can register your interest in memberships for this summer's season at wnbl.basketball/Sydney Flames. And joining us now is Flames coach, basketball great in this country, Shane the Hammer Heel. Shane, good morning to you.
G'day, gentlemen. What an introduction. Jeez.
All for you, mate. Great to have you on the show. And how exciting is it, though, for the Flames to start, I guess, this new chapter?
No, it's really exciting. I think with the vision of Paul Smith and the ownership group, you know, they took on the Sydney Flames whilst there was an association at Sydney Uni, and it was probably always the plan to be able to break away and be more aligned with what they do with the Sydney Kings, and that's out at Homebush, new venue, new colours. It's really exciting, and you know, it's the only NBL club that has a women's program attached to it, so well done for them for having that vision.
I saw on social you were doing some pre-season work with your daughter Shyla and others as well, and even Joe Ingles chipped in and gave you some advice on the post. When are you going to have your roster sorted out ahead of the new season, and who should we keep an eye on?
Yeah, well, we're virtually done now with our roster, but the women all play either overseas, with two of our Americans playing in the WNBA, and our locals play in different states in the NBL One. So we won't get everyone together until next month, and we'll have 6 weeks pre-season. And the young team, there's a girl that we've recruited by the name of Emma Clark. She played a really small role for the Perth Lynx, who made the grand final last year. I think she's going to be a star. We've locked her up for a couple of years and building with a core group that is aged between 20 and 27. So we're really investing in some younger players that we want to build and grow with, and feel like this will be another step forward to have some success.
How did you rate your first season in charge, Shane? What do you need to improve on this year?
Well, I definitely don't need to dye the hair anymore, Murray. It's grey. We had injuries. We lost both imports, one before the season, one after one game to an ACL. So we didn't replace them. We went with a lot of young kids, invested in kids, and we played some games with less than 50% of the salary cap available to us. So
wow.
We used it as a stepping stone, and I think that we're going to have some dividends because of those young players having to step up and play major minutes that they wouldn't have normally done. So now we bring in a couple of imports from America, and I think it's going to be an even season, but we're definitely looking to make the playoffs for the first time in the last 7 years. And who knows, once you get there, as we know.
At a national level, when you watch 41-year-old Lauren Jackson coming back and playing for the Opals, did it just tempt you at any stage, Shane, just to, you know, have another crack?
Not even close. I tell you, 20 years ago and 20 kilos ago, that's what I like watching vision of, not right now. But I'd rather be barking orders than out there getting sweaty right now.
What's been the general reaction, though, amongst players when they watch, you know, her come back? And clearly she's having an impact.
Well, I think everyone's intrigued. I mean, she's the greatest player, the women's player we've seen, that's for sure. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what sort of impact she can have at that age, knowing she's had 9 knee surgeries. I mean, it's inspirational, but one, that she wants to do it, two, that she's physically able to do it, and the question will be of whether she can do it consistently over a season. I think we'll see her back not only for the Opals, for the World Cup later this year, but I think she'll end up in the WNBL as well. And wow. I think it's great for the league because it's going to get bums on seats and so many people talking about it.
Yeah, she's certainly one of the greatest we've ever produced. A guy that's on a similar trajectory is Josh Giddey. What about his first season over in the NBA, Shane? Did you think he'd have the impact he did?
Oh, you know, you always hope that he would, but he's 19. Like, it was incredible that he can be, I think he was the, you know, he's a top 10 pick. Really came onto the scene in the NBL and really overachieved in the NBL for a teenager. And then he virtually took that next step up and did the same thing in the NBA. He's just a terrific talent, so passionate about the game, really good representation of Aussies in the NBA as well. And I just can't wait to see him playing for Australia. And obviously our Boomers won the first ever medal at the Olympic Games. So many positive signs. And then there's another one, Dyson Daniels, was the 8th pick this year, another teenager that's gone to the NBA. So can't wait to watch him play and put on the green and gold as well.
And Dele's back in the NBA. Matthew Dellavedova with the Sacramento Kings. I mean, we probably take it for granted now, don't we, Shane, considering, you know, how big a deal it was for the likes of yourself and, you know, Andrew Gaze when you went over there and had a crack. And here we are, just players going over left, right and centre. And now it's just the norm, it feels like.
Well, I mean, I didn't even dream of playing in the NBA because no one had done it when I was growing up. And, you know, now you see these guys, the game is more of a world game and the NBA accepts foreign players that can actually play the game. So it's fantastic for Australian basketball, and, you know, it only promotes for, you know, all of the kids that are playing as juniors. They now see it and feel it and touch it and believe that they one day can go to the NBA, and why not with so many guys that are actually there getting it done.
Mm. Shane, I go back, obviously, when I was watching you play and the Canberra Cannons and Bullets, and everyone was very strong. And basketball in this country was massive. And then there was a bit of a flat spot. But I just feel as though in men's and women's basketball at the moment, there's this surge in interest and everyone wants to reconnect again with the game. Is that how you read it, or am I completely wrong? Basketball's always been in the spotlight.
No. I think that's 100% accurate. And I think what happens, though, is that, you know, our men's program and women's program at Olympic level has always been really strong, but a lot of the general public will judge where basketball's at because of the NBL. And I felt like the NBL had a 10-15 year period where it was virtually a secret. And then Larry Kesselman comes along and, you know, he's prepared to put his money where his mouth is. And then you attract people like Paul Smith that are prepared to invest in the Sydney Kings and grow that. And we're seeing full stadiums now out at Homebush, and the Kings win a championship. And I just feel like it's got so much momentum, and you know, being able to bring Americans over now of the quality where they're using our league to be able to make it back to the NBA. And there's just so many examples of it. And we're at a really, really good spot for Australian basketball and the NBL. And I think that is mirrored just because of the amount of people that are watching and talking about it right now.
Gosh, I hope for Patty Mills and Ben Simmons' sake, Kevin Durant stays at the Brooklyn Nets. It'd be a real hammer blow, I guess, to that team. Should he leave? What do you think will happen there?
Oh, who knows with some of these guys? They're prima donnas, some of these big NBA guys that are dictating terms and conditions about creating super teams and all the rest of it. To be honest, I like when I saw James Harden, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant all put a team together and all the rest of it, it frustrates me because I have more respect for the Steph Currys that are with teams and they're trying to build and go through the draft and create something with some sort of substance. And, you know, they put these demands on, and that's why it was so disappointing with Ben Simmons. You know, like, we grew up in an era where you're just so passionate about playing the game. It's like, there's no way you're going to keep me out of jumping on the court and doing what I love doing, yet you can make 30 or 40 million and refuse to play just because of the circumstances. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of what's happening at the Nets, and, you know, I hope some of these other teams continue to grow and teams like with Steph, you know, continue to have success.
Well, just a reminder, memberships for this summer's season, wnbl.basketball/Sydney Flames to see Hammer and his girls hopefully go towards a championship this season. Mate, thank you so much.
Good on you, fellas. My pleasure.
Queensland Raceway comes alive on Stan Sport this weekend with the sights and sounds of Speed Series, where Australia's best drivers will battle it out for supremacy. Bathurst 1000 winners Shane Van Gisbergen and David Reynolds and Garth Tander will star in the GT World Challenge Australia, featuring a star-studded lineup of high-performance cars. Catch the massive 30-car field of muscle cars in Trans Am as Chevrolet, Ford and Dodge duel to decide who's the best of the V8 brutes. Then see the headline act, the super cheap auto TCR Australia, where Tony D'Alberto fights to keep his title challenge on course with a pack of hungry drivers chasing him. Don't miss a second of it with all the action streaming ad-free, live and on demand on Stan Sport from 11 a.m. Eastern. Start your free trial today at stan.com.au/sport. And we can see them, Loz. There they are.
I know.
In
I think something's
Harbour.
Happened last night, because they've been on the screen for possibly 10 minutes and they haven't spoke or looked at each other in that 10-minute period. So I want to know what they got up to last night.
Maybe they had a blue.
What the morale is like up there, and has there been some type of issue that we need
mate,
to know about?
Morale's fine. Look, we're giving each other a hug, mate. There's no drama.
Well, you are now. But previous
get away,
that,
you.
Previous to that, there was no eye contact at all. What were you just saving your best work for when you got on the show?
I don't know about the Marlin. But good morning to you both, by the way, and good morning, everyone.
Yeah, it's good morning, boys.
I feel as though, you know, it takes a lot of mental effort for sometimes me on these tours to just really hone in, focus, talk to you boys. I mean, we've got the Minister for Racing coming up after 9 o'clock.
Well, you just look focused. There was no interaction with each other. That's all.
Well, they're professionals.
Just sort of, just like being in the sheds, you know. You've come in, given us the spiel. Games, you know, series on the line, game three. And, yeah, but we're right to go. Don't worry.
Oh, no, I knew you'd be right to go. I just didn't know what happened last night, you know. But how did the Calcutta go?
Enormous.
Plenty of feedback on the line too for you boys.
What was it, Marlo?
Just for some context, every year here in Coffs Harbour, the Pier Hotel is where they have the big Calcutta, and all the big punters go there, a lot of the racing people.
Yep.
This year, there were two Calcuttas in the town. We were at the Moonee Beach Hotel, and most of the people in the room, they weren't necessarily racing people.
No.
A lot of them, it was their first time at a Calcutta, and we got to $29,000.
Wow. Brilliant.
Tonight, guys.
And unbelievable. And super. The reason why, but a few people were like, well, why, you know, we were getting texts sort of saying, hey, you guys at the pier, where are you? And the reason we weren't at the pier is because the short group, and I mentioned this a couple of times during the week, the short group and Marty Short and his team have a number of pubs across New South Wales, and they've got three pubs here in Coffs Harbour. They've got the Sawtelle Pub, the Moonee Beach Hotel, and the Taormina Hotel, where we are this morning, broadcasting live, and that's where it's because it's the closest to the track. Now, we know, obviously, what's happening with the world of the economy and businesses. The short group have thrown huge cash at the Coffs Harbour Race Club. I was talking with some of the board members last night who were there. It's been vital to them, and they've really got behind racing in this part of the world. They've got a great relationship with the TAB. Mm. All their TABs, they're wanting to pump money in and put the new screens up and make them as, you know, user-friendly as possible. So that's why we're at the Moonee Beach. They've spent a lot of money with the club. That was the official Calcutta. And for them to take that Calcutta, like Marlo said, to the pretty much the suburbs of Coffs Harbour, and to get a result like that, to get, you know, 30 grand in the pool.
Tell the listeners about Trudy last night.
Oh, this, you'll love this, Loz. Right. Mm-hmm. So, listen to this. Trudy and her partner and a group of others, they've never been to a Calcutta in their life, right? Regulars at the Moonee Beach Hotel, they've bought their tickets. It was $5 a ticket for one or three for 10. So Trudy thought, right, well, I'll buy $10 worth of tickets, you beauty.
And
so,
she was the first person first to buy. Person. This, they've been selling for a few days or a number of weeks.
So Trudy, luckily, gets a horse selected. She managed to have picked out Fender. Now, that horse was sold for $6,000.
Oh, three
so 3,000 3,000 goes in the kitty, and she's picked up $3,000.
Trudy.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Beginner's and luck, how good.
Yeah, 100%. And there were heaps of other people there that were in, you know, buying tickets that had never been. It was a little bit probably slower than a normal Calcutta that you guys have been to, you know, at your Woggers, your Mudgies, etc. But that's because we felt like we were being teachers. We were trying to just get everyone hooked. And you know what? I reckon everyone will come back next year because they're going to commit the Moonee Beach Hotel to being this major sponsor for many years to come. And I reckon that that Calcutta's, I think, going to get bigger and stronger, boys.
I reckon it will. What's the weather like up there, Dave?
Beautiful.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Any rain?
Not a cloud in the sky. I don't think they're expecting rain. If they are expecting rain, it's going to come from nowhere because it's blue skies outside. Track's in magnificent order. We're going to have on Racing HQ this morning, we're going to have John O'Shea. I mentioned the Racing Minister. The announcements yesterday coming out of headquarters was unbelievable. So we'll chat with Kevin Anderson after Scratchings this morning. We're also going to chat as well with Jock Cologley, try and get some tips. This Hoosier. A lot of talk around town from the Chris Lees camp that Hoosier is going to be quite dominant this afternoon. So, no, we're going to have some fun, boys. It's always good to be on tour. It's a lovely part of the world, and hopefully we can try and text you through a few winners.
I was going to say, any more mail across the program there today? Surely you've heard something there last night.
What do you like?
Well, look, I've had one small wager at this stage.
What's a small wager?
$100.
Right.
100, 50 each way.
Don't
50
tell
each
him,
way.
Marlo.
50 each way, boys. What about DS giving me up? Man has to divulge everything on this program. Race 5, number 4, guys. I just had something on Invictus Felix, just the Bowman factor. He goes on. The horse has been ticking over well. Looks a bit of a target race. So, DS, I thought, it was worth a spec each way.
There's a big rumour around town, race 3, number 14. The locally trained horse that
Olakawatu.
Has... Olakawatu.
Yeah. Missed a run last week, but going around today.
Olakawatu.
$4 favourite, race 3, number 14.
Not bad.
Yeah, so that's been the sort of the tip, because a few of the locals were tipping me that last night, saying look out for Olakawatu for sausage rolls. I think Luke Rolls is on that. Absolutely. So hopefully there'll be a big roar. That's his nickname, Saucy Drolls.
You too.
So there you go. So next time you're at a tab, you can just start yelling out, "Go sausage!" That's what they do. Go sausage. Have a great. By the way, has there been any mention of your co-host? There's been. I tell you what,
no.
Hasn't it been a big 24 hours?
Well,
for
he has been sighted. I think.
Yeah, I got a message yesterday.
What's it say?
Firstly, it was like, "You're coming with me next year," which tells
Mid-o.
Me he's had 40 Aperol spritz.
Yeah. Just hold him to that 2 minute.
Yeah, don't worry, I will be.
He'd have to be fooled. I want you to tag along. Mate.
Well, what? 100%. And all I saw was an exotic location, sort of deck, which looked like, I don't know, probably a 100-foot boat. And, I would say somewhere sort of France, Italy, Spain, take your pick.
Yeah, good. And off the market too. I'm reading in newspapers. Well, it's all just hearsay.
I don't know.
I mean, it makes sense. I've never seen the bloke on the Today Show more in my life, so it just makes sense. So I guess, you know, good on him.
By the way, I've just had a text from a mate who says he's related to Sausage Rolls, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Same
surname. I like it.
His nickname's Meat Pie.
Have a great day, boys. We'll send you through some mail. We're going to try and find a winner for you. Go and enjoy your Thursday afternoon, big sports breakfast. I'll be back tomorrow morning, Loz and Middo. I tell you what, did I tell you, Marley had been away, that he's been doing a bit of wedding crashing, Middo?
Who has, Middo?
Yeah, he's Owen Wilson. He's got a bit of Owen Wilson about
him. He does look like him, doesn't he?
And he's been doing some wedding crashing and enjoying himself. He's been on fire.
Anything for a free drink there, yes.